Hey, boom, sun's out, guns out. It's Rumored Innuendo Wednesday, and it's a dynamite Wednesday. We'll be talking about that, talking about plenty, but I am here. Robert Karpolis, I'm Dominic D'Angelo, by the way, and WD underscore creative-ish is Robert Karpolis. Robert, how are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. Yes, thank you for holding down the fort yesterday with Zach. Sorry, I wasn't able to be here with you guys. I was a guest lecturer at a law school, and at no point in time did anybody on there ask me about my thoughts on Raw. So I'm obviously much happier to be here today with you than I was yesterday. Couple things. First, listen to the show yesterday. Great job. The fact you couldn't remember the name of the Brawling Brutes, I'm willing to forgive. What I'm not willing to forgive is you guys did an entire segment and you kept calling the new World Tag Team titles belts. You people are animals when I'm not here. I leave a substitute teacher in place. I come back the next day, whole thing's a mess. Shout out to Antonio Santos. Good afternoon, everyone. Christopher Zanto. It's Wednesday, folks. Let's hear some R&I. And Mike Malaro, Dominic, representing the D'Angelo family, proud. Hey. Cousin Tony, thanks you. I'm guessing that's about the NXT last night, which unfortunately I did not get a chance to catch. But we know we got a lot of other stuff to talk about, Dom. So you steer the ship, dude. Where are we going?
Okie doke. So tonight is AEW Dynamite. Follow-up from the controversial great show of last week, where they aired the footage. But this week, they have a card, a full card, and it's pretty stacked for Dynamite. John Maxley will be making his return. Claudio Castagnoli will be taking on Will Ospreay.
How many of those names you just butchered, by the way. John Maxley.
Maxley.
Instead of Moxley.
Castagnoli. I know that's completely wrong. Ospreay I got right though, bruv.
There you go. Right, yeah, bruv. You got that. You nailed it. Mm-hmm.
But and there's some other stuff we'll touch upon. But Robert, coming into this, what are you thinking of this follow-up? How does Tony Khan steer the ship? He's doubling down, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But on the footage, how do you kind of navigate these waters that are apparently going to be rough moving forward, I think?
So the footage that aired last week almost collectively was a fart in church. It did not pop a rating. No one who watched it and saw it was excited about what they saw. It wasn't high fives all around. It wasn't the AEW faithful coming after those of us who were critical of it saying, what are you talking about? You just don't understand wrestling. The folks in AEW, supposedly there were some rumblings. Some people were not very happy. Those outside of AEW were pointing to this saying, what sort of desperation tactics are they getting to? And my biggest frustration with all of it is you look at the headline of the card for tonight. You look at the title of this episode. It's Claudio Castagnoli and Will Ospreay. And that's what you need to do to sell a show. You're giving this audience, or say these people, as if I'm not watching myself. You're giving them a world-class match that's accomplishing two things. Number one, you're getting a guaranteed main event that's going to be off the charts incredible. Number two, you're advancing the storyline of Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. It's a member of the Blackpool Combat Club facing the guy who's going to be facing Bryan at the pay-per-view this weekend. Wrestling is not always that difficult. Sometimes it's just as simple as let's put a good match out there. We saw it on Raw. I know I wasn't here to talk about Raw, but we saw it with Jey Uso and Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to hype this Damian Priest matchup, and we also got to fill content. Let's just put two world-class athletes in there and let them go have a really great match. And that's what Tony's doing here with Claudio and Ospreay. And I, for one, am really excited to see this.
Yeah, and you think about some of the stuff that AEW does on a consistent basis when it comes to presenting matches and, you know, storylines and stuff like that. And it's very much a head scratcher sometimes. This one does make sense. And this one is one of the ones that kind of does create intrigue. Ooh, this is something I do have to tune into because it's Claudio versus Ospreay. It's going to be good. And it's, you know, it's a good position to have in. And then on top of it, too, you got these names. You got John Moxley returning. He's the IWGP champion. We kind of touched upon that on Monday a little bit. But how do you kind of position him to kind of elevate your product here as a different kind of champion, but he's also been the face of your company, one of the faces of your company for the past, since it's almost its inception. So what do you kind of think of this, Robert? How would you use John Moxley here tonight?
You can either use him in this Ospreay situation, which I don't necessarily love, just because Ospreay is not a heel. Danielson is not a heel at the moment. Ospreay is still technically part of the Don Callis family. I don't think they want that group or that storyline really pulling into what's going on here. But we did see the Don Callis family attack Claudio and Danielson at the end of Collision. So it is very possible that we're going to speed things up. We're going to escalate the situation a little bit. And you got Moxley there to try to even the odds. Maybe it's a way to shoehorn in a tag match into this show being the pay-per-view over the weekend over in AEW Dynasty. I remembered it. Took me a minute. I got it.
Good job.
Nailed it. But yeah, or it's Moxley showing up to... You hearing an echo? Or am I hearing an echo?
That's you hearing an echo. I hear no echo.
Oh, I'm hearing voices in my head. Like Randall Keith Orton, yes. But what I think is potentially going to happen here is Moxley extending a challenge for his IWGP title for the pay-per-view. He doesn't have a match. He doesn't have an opponent lined up. It can either be, I can see a Claudio. Yeah, now I'm hearing an echo of myself again. This is weird.
Keep riffing. I'll grab.
I'm gonna keep riffing. It's fine. We're good. Yeah. Put some headphones on. He's wearing a weird pink tank top. He looks like Zach Morris in an early episode of Saved by the Bell. It's bizarre, but I can see them doing a Claudio and Moxley versus a Will Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher match for their pay per view, or Takeshita going up against Moxley. Like you could spring something last minute. Tony Khan is kind of the king of, I forgot to do my homework. It's the night before it's due. Let me scramble and put something out there. And that's when we get this card, this match.
Yes. It is a good card. It's very good, but it's also like, hey, we're really got to hammer home the point that this is the go home show for Dynasty. And it's the table is set pretty well. I'm just curious about
we'll talk about the Dynasty setup as we get closer to the show. That'll probably be on our Friday edition, where we'll get to have some conversations about predictions for that weekend, as well as talking about SmackDown. But right now, we got to get through kind of the last episode of Dynamite. I would say it's the go home show, but they do still have Collision.
That's a fair point, but people going to tune in? That's the question. We do have the Elite tagging up Okada and the Young Bucks going up against Pac, Daniel Garcia, and Penta in trios action. But then we'll also hear from Samoa Joe, Mercedes Moné, and Swerve. They're going to speak before their pay-per-view. And then Deonna Purrazzo versus Mariah May. Then Taz, he will broker a meeting between Hook and Chris Jericho. What stands out to you here, Robert,
in the remainder of that card? What stands out here? How quickly you could read through the rest of the card, and you can kind of see. Like, I get that, they got the Adam Copeland, Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart, Brody King match to set up the six-man tag. I think the world of Willow Nightingale, it's nice that she's getting the rub a little bit from Edge, from Adam Copeland. The six-man tag match, you're throwing Pac and Danny Garcia and Penta together. It's hard to understand sort of the connection of, hey, why necessarily Garcia is here or a part of it. And then I feel like I'm going to see Pac and Okada mix it up. Am I now excited to see them as a singles match when I'm seeing it in a triple threat match? Pac has not been presented as a legit main event threat. We understand this is the first feud so that Rainmaker can get his bearings about himself, his feet about him. But the more that I see the two of them lock up, the less special it's going to feel on the pay-per-view. There'll be a Joe promo. There'll be a Swerve promo. There'll be a Mercedes promo. God willing, the Mercedes promo will be a pre-tape. I think when she is pre-recorded, you get a slightly better version of what you get than when she's out there live. But the lack of impact that Mercedes has really made since she's debuted is kind of startling.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, who attacked her, Robert? That's the big question. in that that backstage.
Her producer.
The producer attacked
her. Producer's like, make this stop. Someone, please. Yeah, I'm not super intrigued by it, in part because all due respect to Tony Khan, who we all just unconditionally love and support. When it comes to surprise reveals, not been his strongest suit. You know, the devil is in the details. And the devil is also a storyline that has thankfully vanished off the face of the earth after consuming several months of television. So
Is it though? Because I think it was on Collision, Robert. We got a little taste of that, didn't we?
On Saturday. Okay, well, if a segment happens on Collision and no one watches it, does it make a sense? No, they have not made it an important part of their programming. It hasn't been a thing. I get that Roderick Strong and you know, Bennett and Taven are the six-man tag titles. Otherwise, it's not a needle mover. Wardlow has seemingly vanished. Maybe Wardlow attacked Mercedes Moné. And maybe that's the match we're going to get.
Oh, it'll be like a
Brian Cage, Tessa Blanchard situation from a couple years ago in TNA. But if not, is there a name that could literally be associated with it that's really going to be a shock?
You have to bring in somebody outside, I think.
And it's either someone outside or it's Britt.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, too. It could be Britt.
Britt's the only person who's left. And I can't think of them bringing somebody else in. And whoever it is, you then have to get that match in the ring and get people excited about it and caring about it. I'll be honest. I forgot that Mercedes was attacked outside of the comedic elements of how bad that segment came across. I don't remember it. I'm excited for Joe to talk. I'm excited for Swerve to talk. You can't put those two together. We've seen them have the contract signing. We've seen blood. We've seen change used. We've seen the escalation in violence. It's now just a matter of get that match in the ring on Sunday. Dre Owens, champion of this episode, you said, Hayter. You think it's going to be Jamie Hayter? Look, I think Jamie Hayter is incredible. I would love if this is how they bring Jamie Hayter back. I would love that Jamie Hayter was cleared to return. So that would be a lot of fun. And then Taz brokering a meeting with Hook and Jericho. My hope is that Taz is there with an NDA so that his son never has to talk about working with Jericho ever again. This is a lead balloon situation. And I am very excited for Taz and a Hook to hopefully jump ship and go to NXT and you know, really step up their game, Dom. And guys, if you're looking to step up your game, I'm back. So that means it's back. It's Blue Chew. Dom, you did a nice job with it yesterday, but I'm back in the chair because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. We see what Jericho is doing there with Hook. He's trying to recapture the fountain of youth by working with younger talent. You don't need to bring Hook here. All you need is to pop one of those Blue Chew, and you're going to feel like you were back when you were in your 20s because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our viewers. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. You can do to your partner what the IRS did to a whole bunch of people on April 15th. But she's going to be a hell of a lot happier than we were when we were filing our taxes, Dom.
Right. Well, Tony Khan's hoping people will be a hell of a lot happier after last week, because guess what?
What?
He doubled down on airing that footage from last week.
And wait, seriously?
He did.
I read the you know what? I missed that blurb. I saw the next thing. Ooh. I did not see this Tony Khan. You know what? I'm not even going to read it.
Okay.
I will react to this in real time, and I'm sure Tony's response was, boy, we really messed up on this. We apologize to everyone. We're going to regain the trust of the viewer in the locker room. Is that what he said, Dom?
No, not really.
Of course.
On the Chris Russell show, he said, I think it made a lot of sense. We've seen the Young Bucks change a lot. We saw them get really dark during their retirement run of Sting. They've only gotten darker and more twisted. That's why they felt like they should play the tape. And then he added, it was fascinating to see after the tape played, the reaction Jack Perry got at New Japan. He got the reaction of a superstar. That is not altogether unexpected and is something very interesting, perhaps a side effect of this. So leaning into the storyline as he typically does when he gets asked these kind of questions. He is not backing away from it being a mistake despite all the criticism received.
So what's really funny is while you were chatting with this and I was listening, the show that Tony went on, this Chris Russell show, is a show talking about DC sports. They talk about the Commanders, the Nationals, the Capitals, the Wizards. This was not a pro wrestling show. This was not him talking to I hesitate to say wrestling journalist, but he wasn't talking to a wrestling journalist. He wasn't talking to the key audience or someone who would have been able to ask probing questions. This is a guy who was probably talking to Tony about the Jaguars, probably talking to him about soccer. And then by default, he's going to talk about this. So it's a great way to control your audience. If you're going to go do an interview and make a statement, let's say it's Donald Trump who wants to talk about his trial, and he's talking about it on like the talk show on the Food Network. They're not going to give him the same probing questions you would if you were on CNN, MSNBC, or what have you. So yeah, he felt like he was in a safe environment to put this quote out there. Yes, so I will agree with him. The Young Bucks character has gotten darker and more twisted. Fine. This footage didn't help further that. The idea that they were trying to blame FTR or that they're going to punish the guys that are left, hey, that's darker. That's messed up. That's an abuse of power. Utilizing the real footage, not at all justified, didn't get any further eyeballs. Doesn't make me more excited to see this match. In fact, it was such a bomb that now they're making this a ladder match to try to like mask the odor. Like, all right, we're going to make this FTR versus the Young Bucks in a ladder match. If you just did that, people are like, great, we're excited. We're plugged in. We want to see what happens here. Who's going to be the new tag champions? We don't care about the footage. The footage has not helped anyone. And if he thinks that this is why Jack Perry is getting more over because they aired this footage, like, it's a total misunderstanding of wrestling. Yeah. And it's startling for a guy who's running a company.
Yeah, it's very head scratching. I mean, despite like all the stuff, then like I mentioned this too in that SE Scoops article that I wrote, was like he's done a lot.
Put yourself over.
He's done a lot of good for it, but there's I don't know, just being in that bubble or having people not taking him to task or anything like that has been a problem for him, and it's a big oversight to air something like this, and to like, and even when it was going on, it was just complete silence. They had no commentary. They had nothing going on. So you're not making the Bucks seem twisted in this. They just aired footage and then kind of talked about it. That was it.
I don't know. I thought it was rather distasteful, but you know, what's not distasteful, Don?
What?
Factor meals. Guys, eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. I say it's spring, but I'm in Florida. It's already like 90 degrees and hot as hell outside. But the best is when I'm done with this, I don't have to go out and go pick up food. I got it sitting in my fridge, because every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Veggie and Vegan. Also discover more than 60 add-ons each week, like breakfast, on-the-go snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. The thing that I'm excited about trying are some of these gourmet meals. They have premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I'm a big steak guy. I'm a big filet mignon guy. But what I've learned is you're going to put me out there on the grill on my own. I do not want to mess up a high-quality piece of meat. I'm trusting it to the experts at Factor, and you should too. So head over to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This actually came up yesterday while I was guest lecturing. I was talking to one of the other panelists before we got on, and she was talking about how she was looking to do one of these new, you know, meal programs. I recommended Factor. She's using our code. She's going to be dialing in. She has no clue about the world of rumor and innuendo. Not a wrestling fan. Not plugged in here. Not super excited to hear what we have to say about Sheamus or Drew Gulak. But she's super excited to get on the Factor bandwagon, and you should too. Use that promo code. Get those discounts. Dom, what else we got?
Oh, man. Unsolved mysteries going on here. Continuing with NXT, even though I didn't watch it either, to be forthright. But we did happen to have a little thing regarding Drew Gulak. Obviously, he made news last week when it came to Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey said, alleged that he pulled on her drawstring on her sweatpants during a run-by almost, and she called him out on it. And then he issued a statement saying, no, it was an accidental handshake. I apologize, blah, 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 all this kind of thing. So the following week on NXT, there was no sign of Drew Gulak with the no quarter catch crew. He was off their Titantron. He was not in the backstage segments. And then following up this week, this is written from SE Scoops. I did not write this, by the way. I'm not putting myself over. No quarter catch crew, again, says Gulak, had an in-ring segment with Cousin Tony D'Angelo family. During the segment, D'Angelo noted that Charlie Dempsey had the family take care of a member of the group, seemingly Gulak. Dempsey responded by saying it was for the good of the business and that the trash had been taken care of. So, Drew Gulak written out of the show, written out of NXT. You know, a little family business kind of getting handled here, Robert. But, Drew Gulak, I want to get your thoughts on all that stuff and the handling of such a thing like this.
So Ronda made the allegations, and Drew Gulak's response, and I've said this before, was the ultimate curb your enthusiasm style misunderstanding. I somehow shook plenty of people's hands yesterday, and at no point in time did I accidentally get my hands stuck in their drawstring. I get that they need to distance themselves from Drew, see where the dust has settled. You know, they obviously, Brock is off on the side. Vince is gone, never to be seen again. Same thing for Laurinaitis. I'm just saying that because it makes me happy to say that we're never going to see Vince and Laurinaitis again. But yeah, they don't need another scandal. Having Drew Gulak on TV is not going to add anything to the presentation. Rather, not having him there alleviates any unfortunate side effects with people constantly questioning, why is Drew Gulak on TV? Oh yeah, he had that thing with Ronda Rousey. Why have they not investigated this? Use it a storyline, have him go away for a while. Maybe he gets a chance to come back. Maybe something new comes to light. We don't know, but better to be safe than sorry. And they just have an overabundance of talent, Dom. They're overflowing with talent.
Overflowing with talent. And The Rock knows it too, Robert. He just knows it. And he happened to talk about this over the weekend. I've been wanting to talk about this, but I just haven't had the time. The Rock issued a congratulations about
WrestleMania. We're finally talking about Billy in the CW?
No. I'm sorry. No. We'll get to that tomorrow.
Did The Rock mention anything about Billy in the CW?
He's a big REM fan. I know that. He said, I want to say congratulations to the men who I was in the ring with. These guys are the best on the planet. Congratulations to Cody Rhodes, the new Universal Champion. As I had said, the final boss returns. He's coming back for you. Make you bleed again, boy. Congratulations, Cody Rhodes. Congratulations to my cousin Roman on an incredible 3.5-year run. Maybe even 4 years. Just a cool, iconic, historic. And then he also issued a congratulations to Seth Rollins, who he called the real MVP. Robert, do you like this, The Rock doing this on there? Is that a problem, like being a heel and being the final boss? He's also, I will defend him in the aspect that he was patronizing to Cody Rhodes on Raw, so it kind of ties into that. He can kind of blur the lines, but what do you think?
I mean, there's blurring the lines, and then there's kind of the whole, hey guys, The Rock character is going on the shelf for a little bit. I'm now Dwayne. Love me. Buy my products. Go see my movies. Go watch anything that I'm endorsing. But don't worry, when I come back, I'll switch back into that role. I'm fine with how we addressed Cody. I'm fine with how he addressed Roman. Putting over Seth as the MVP felt a little odd. That felt like when someone wins an award and they thank their assistant.
Yeah.
We know Seth was not necessarily the MVP of the weekend. Yes, he wrestled two matches. He was part of the main event in the third match with that ridiculous Shield run in. I don't know that I would necessarily call him the MVP of the weekend, but it's The Rock. He goes back and forth with these sorts of things. Crowd's still going to cheer him. If he showed up on at College Game Day or something like that in a couple months, audience is going to go wild for him. Shows up at the Tonight Show, audience is going to go wild for him. When he comes back to WWE TV, he'll get a huge pop and immediately will pivot to remind you, hey guys, I'm here to be a heel. And it'll be great to see Rock back on TV. Big week for returns across the board, Dom.
Yes, Sheamus, he happened to return as well. And we talked about him a little bit on Raw, me and Zach Hadorn did. But he looks a little different. And people took note of it.
I didn't notice anything. You can go back on the WWE Creative _ish X account. I don't remember making a single comment about Sheamus's appearance.
Yeah, well, I like
best not to check that, just check my word for it.
I like his attire a lot, but he put on a couple LPs and it was a little noticeable, and so obviously social media, the wrestling world will react to such things. And Sheamus handled it very good naturedly. He tweeted out himself, "No, I'm big boned," basically, and put the quiet emoji on there. So thought it was handled well. Body shaming in wrestling, Robert, I know we're closing out the show here. It could be a huge talking point we talk on, but want to get
body shaming. All right. Sheamus, when we last saw him on TV, was in arguably the best shape of his career. Abs just jacked to the gills, looked incredible, goes away, comes back a softer looking Sheamus. We know he was out with a neck injury. It's going to make it harder for you to work out. There was a time, believe it or not, kids, when I was running 5 miles a day, probably about a year and change ago, until I fell, broke a rib, made it more difficult to do so. By default, you can't do the same workout you were doing before. You're going to look a little different. My wife is the first to point out that I will look a little different. But it's a visual business, and Sheamus is out there. They didn't address it. If they addressed it, I think it would have been fine. It's not like it was a negligible change. It was a pretty significant difference. And Cole saying on commentary, here comes the cat. I hear the noise. The cat's coming to co-defend him.
Nuts. He is.
Yes. It's going to be hashtag cat butthole any second now. It's not body shaming. It's Cole saying Sheamus is in the best shape of his life. And you're looking at it going, really? Like when Orton came back, best shape of his life. AJ came back, best shape of his life. Drew, after his sabbatical, he came back, best shape of his life. Sheamus, different shape.
Yes.
And that's okay. And it's not body shaming the way that we normally, you know, think of it. It's people having a go at it and having a, what I would, as the Brits would say, having a laugh. It's not going to do. Sheamus did. He looked great in ring. His match with Ivar was a lot of fun. They've been making note of the fact that guys like Ivar and Bronson Reed are, you know, big meaty men. Sheamus just needs to make a crack about it. If R-Truth made a joke about Sheamus in passing, this all blows over almost immediately.
Right. And, you know, to your point, wrestling has been a visual business and, you know, will continue to be. I mean, like Vince McMahon set that precedent a lot in the 80s, obviously. That was a big part of it.
Yes.
And so you goes with those expectations. Sheamus gave you those expectations of looking a certain way. And here he comes a little looking different. So, I mean, not necessarily a bad thing. You can kind of, like you said, embrace it, lean into it.
Oh, if it's me, I would have had R-Truth walk by him. Did you see my new title? Dog, I don't know if it's going to fit around you.
Yeah, do and something like
done.
That.
You're and then done. You're Sheamus gives him a joke. You move on and you're fine.
And how many times, too, in regards, you don't think Sheamus is getting razzed a little bit backstage by somebody like a Triple H or anybody like that? Of course he is. And he's aware of it.
Buddy. Of course he is.
That's his work buddy. So, yeah, he totally knows. He's aware of it. Let's see what happens. It's not body shaming. No.
I know it's not body shaming. This is wrestling. People are gonna make jokes. They're gonna crack jokes. You hear it every week on my other podcast, Wrestle Roasts. The group chat has been slightly merciless when it's come to cracking some jokes about old Sheamus. I'm sure that'll come up on Wrestle Roasts on Friday, Dom, our producer. But Dom, you got a couple other shows that the folks can hear you on.
Yeah, I do. One of a Kind with RVD. New episode dropped on Monday at 4:20 p.m. Go to rvdtv.com. We cover WrestleMania weekend. We cover a lot of different topics there. And we also just dropped on fourhorsemannetwork.com, Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne, Magnum TA. We discuss Cody Rhodes, generational stars, the whole lot of things, and more to come this week too. Some cool news on that front happening. And yes, I'm going to be on the conference call with Tony Khan tomorrow. So if you guys have a question that you want me to ask him, if I get on there, hashtag me up, RIP pod, or just hit me up on Twitter at Dominic D'Angelo. We'll see. I'll field some questions. I've got a couple in mind I want to ask for sure. So
what time is the Tony call tomorrow?
I believe it's 2 o'clock. Not too sure yet, but yeah, I believe it's 2 o'clock.
All right. Well, you're doing the finger tapping the chin. That looks convincing, like you're genuinely deep in thought. So on behalf of the king of the cat butthole, Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Fella, no body shaming.